In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we begin the Lenten season. And as we do so, we must realize that Lent for us is not deprivation, it's fullness. It's not emptiness, it's being filled. You've heard the expression, looking at the glass is half full versus half empty. And of course, this applies when it comes to something like fasting, that we see it as an opportunity, as something positive, not something that's stripped away from us, but rather as a gift that's given to us by God. But for us, the Lenten glass isn't just half full, it's completely filled up to the brim and to overflowing. We can't even contain all of the grace that's given to us in this season. All we can do is try to open ourselves up more so that we can receive more of what God is offering to us. The paradox is that while on the one hand, it certainly is fullness, it's a season of grace. On the other hand, it's a time in which we meditate on the fact that we're in exile, that we're outside, shut out of paradise. One of the themes for this day is that of the expulsion of Adam and Eve from paradise. Adam and Eve, having rejected God's word, rejected God's law, most importantly, rejected a relationship with God, communion with Him, were forced to leave paradise. Now, this was a natural consequence. If you break communion with God, you will no longer be in paradise, automatically. By definition, breaking communion with God is being outside of paradise. So on the one hand, we have this theme of being expelled, of being outside, of desiring to enter back in. And the hymnography paints such a tragic picture of this reality. It helps us to see really how broken and how sad this reality is, that we've sinned against God, that we've damaged our relationship with Him, that we are outside of paradise. And so Adam is described as lamenting, bitterly, weeping, with a broken heart. How is it that I sinned against my God, who is my life, who is the dearest thing to me, my breath, my joy, my peace, everything to me, and yet I've rejected and renounced Him? How can this be? And so Adam and Eve and all of their children, generation after generation, lament. We lament. We mourn the fact that we live in a broken world in which innocent people suffer because of our sin as human beings. And yet, in Christ, we've found our way back into paradise. In Christ, we see clearly our path back. He's the one who opens the gates that were shut and leads us through from this world, this fallen world, into the kingdom of heaven. And the life and the grace of the all-holy Trinity can fill our souls to fullness, to overflowing, if we wish. And even fasting itself, which seems like deprivation, having to give certain things up, this is another kind of fullness. Because it's a way to make room in our hearts for Christ, for the Holy Spirit, for the gifts that God has for us. But for that to happen, the fasting has to be sincere, not hypocritical, not for show, not to impress anybody, not so that we can pat ourselves on the backs for being good Orthodox Christians, but because of our love for God. That has to be the reason. As we hear in the gospel today, it's possible, you know, to fast in such a way that we do it completely hypocritically, or we look gloomy because we're hungry and all of this kind of thing to try to, you know, get other people to feel sorry for us or something like that. It's ridiculous. And it also has to be sincere in the sense that a true fast is not just giving up certain kinds of food. I think of a cartoon that was drawn by a friend of mine, Steve Robinson, where he portrays a man. He's driving in his car and he's yelling expletives at people, and he's getting angry at his kids, his family, and everybody around him. He's criticizing people and so on. And then he walks into Starbucks and orders a coffee, and he says, "Please put soy milk in it. I'm fasting." You know, and he's saying, "This is missing the point." You know, if we give ourselves over to all of our passions, but somehow, you know, legalistically keep the fast, then we're missing the point. But rather, if the fast is the tool which God has given it to us for, in order to come to love God and others more, that's what it is. It's giving up our will. It's being obedient to the church. It's saying yes to our mother who says, these are the rules you must follow if you are to become less selfish, if your heart is to become more pure, if you are to overcome your passions and become more loving. So Lent is fullness and not deprivation. It's also light and not darkness. Sometimes it may feel like these seasons of fasting are a kind of darkness. The Lenten season may sometimes feel gloomy because of the things that we have to give up, that we feel like we're being deprived of. It feels gloomy compared, for example, to Pascha, which is so bright and so joyful and so cheerful and everything. But it's not really gloomy for those with eyes to see and ears to hear. The darkness that we experience during Lent is like the darkness of the morning right before the sun rises. It's that kind of darkness. It's a darkness that's full, that's vibrant, that has a sense of expectation of what's just about to happen. Because the first rays of the sun are just beginning to peek over the horizon. And we know that the final day is dawning, the day of Pascha, which is the eternal day, in which there will be no more sadness or sorrow or tears or broken hearts or tragedy. And there will be no more sin, and there will be no more hurt, and there will be no more separation for those who love God, who love Christ, who give their hearts to Christ. So already we see the promise, we feel the sense of expectation of the fullness that's coming to us. And we hear this expressed by St. Paul in his epistle to the Romans. Brethren, salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. Salvation is near at hand, nearer than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. Let us then cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us conduct ourselves becomingly as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, and not in quarreling or in jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. So, we're casting off the gloom. We're casting off the darkness when we step into the fast. We're stepping into the season that brings light into our life, that opens up the dark places of our heart and shines the light in. A season in which a spring cleaning takes place and the cobwebs are all wiped away, and instead the sunlight shines in. Lent is calling us to walk in the light. And so it's not darkness, but it is light. It's also forgiveness and not condemnation. The Lenten season, the fast, is for our forgiveness and not for our condemnation. God has no desire to condemn. We condemn ourselves when we reject God, who is the source of our life. We condemn ourselves to death when we reject life. It's very simple. We condemn ourselves to darkness when we reject the light. Remember the prodigal son. The father is gentle towards the younger brother and the elder brother. The younger brother, he embraces immediately when he repents and returns. The elder brother, the father lovingly coaxes and pleads with. Can't you understand? Can't you set aside your pride and realize that your brother who is dead is alive and was lost and now he's returned, he's found? Can't you rejoice and be glad for the sake of the benefit of others? Can't you set aside your selfishness? He pleads with him that he might come into the feast. If the younger chose to stay in the pig's pen, the younger brother, the prodigal, if he chose to stay in the pig's pen, that would be his choice. If the elder brother refuses to come to the feast for his younger brother, that would be his choice. He would be, in that case, hanging on to his bitterness. It would be a tragic choice, but it would be his choice. Forgiveness is always possible if that's what we want, but we have to humble ourselves to receive it. And we also must forgive others. The elder brother must forgive the younger brother if he is to participate in the eternal celebration. If we condemn others, then the bitterness of that condemnation poisons us. It eats us up from the inside. Remember the example of the uncondemning monk. The uncondemning monk is commemorated on March 30th. He's not even named, but he's a monk from the history of the church, and his account is given to us because it's so edifying. It says that this monk was a terrible monk who didn't fast like he should, and he didn't pray like he should, and he didn't keep his obediences like he was supposed to. He was the worst monk in the monastery. And yet, when he was dying, he was lying on his deathbed, and all the monks gathered around him, all the brethren, and his face was shining, and he was joyful. He was happy. And the other monks asked him, "How can this be that you're joyful, brother, when you've lived such a sinful life?" He said, "Just now, I saw the angels gathered round me, and they showed me a list that had all of my sins listed on it, and they were very many sins." And he said, "I responded to those angels. I said, 'Yes, I have committed all of those sins.' Yet throughout my life, from the beginning of the time that I was a monk, throughout all of these years, I've never once condemned anyone else. I've never once judged my brother." And the Lord says, "Judge not, lest ye be judged." And I have hope in God's mercy that because I have not condemned my brother, God will not condemn me. And he said, and the angels took the list and tore it up because of his lack of condemnation for others. And so this example is given to us. And it says all of the other monks, when they heard that, they were very edified. They were very edified. And we're edified also when we hear this. Lent is about forgiveness. Of course, it requires our repentance. Of course, repentance means to open ourselves up to God's mercy, to turn from the darkness to the light, to turn from the emptiness of sin to the fullness of life in Christ. Lent calls us to lay up treasure for ourselves in heaven rather than to lay up treasures on earth in this world, to give our hearts to the Lord so that our reward will be with Him, to fast for the sake of the kingdom of heaven, not to impress others, to do deeds of love for God and for others in secret. And Lent is an adventure. We're called to a great adventure. We heard the call to this at the end of Orthros. It said, "Brothers, sisters, let us enter into the arena, the contest of Lent. Let us enter into the contest so that we will defeat the enemy. We will be victorious over the enemy and trample down his schemes." You see, we're being called to a contest. We have to have courage. We have to be willing to fight. And if we're willing to fight and we have courage, then by God's grace, we will be victorious. It takes a creative effort, an energetic struggle to make the Lenten journey, to complete it with victory. It's a holy competition in which we are trying to outdo one another in love for each other, in showing genuine love. And the more we put our heart into the Lenten journey, and the more we put our heart into fasting the right way, with love for God and others, the more we'll experience the joy of Pascha, May God grant it to us. May He grant us to embrace the fast and to be transformed by it. Amen.